Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
All right, folks, again, thanks for being here tonight. And tonight I get to spend some time with a lady who is a good friend to me. She's a great friend as well to our company and has been a member of Zuma Scientific Advisory Board for, my goodness, I've lost track of the years. It's been a long, long time. But she's always a great contributor not only to wisdom and knowledge for us on calls like this, but she's a great contributor to other people's lives. I was just talking to her today about some contributions she's making in her local community to help people with more abundant health through better quality food, of all things, which is sadly a concept that a lot of people still don't understand, that what we eat actually translates into how we feel. But that being said, guys, she is a great friend to us. I'm always glad when Dr. Henrietta Alvin gets an opportunity to spend some time and share wisdom with us on this call. I want to make sure she's on the line. Dr. Alvin, are you there?
I am here, Ken. Thank you. Honor me. Thank you. That's very sweet, this introduction. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. I say those things because I genuinely mean them, right? So, it's they always say it's hard to fake sincerity, so I don't know how to do that because if I'm not me, I can't fake me. So,
we don't want you any other way.
Well, as I mentioned at the start of this call, I mean, you are always looking to contribute into people's lives, especially when it comes to their health and well-being. And tonight's topic is one that I like because it's one that, sadly, a lot of people never really think much about or in some cases, maybe in many cases, don't know much about. And so I like how you're going to enlighten us on a topic that I think is pretty valuable in today's world.
Yeah, I would very much like to address the electromagnetic field pollution, that would be the appropriate word, that we're experiencing with from smart appliances to our cell phones, to our computers. And it's not something that pokes you in the eye that you can notice right away. It's not something, at least for most people, it is not. There are those who suffer greatly from nervous system disturbances because of electromagnetic pollution, EMF for short, which is what I'll continue to call it. It is an emanation of energy from all the appliances we use, from all the tools we use, from anything that is plugged in, your refrigerator, your vacuum cleaner, your hair blow dryer, everything, computers, of course, and the higher and the Gs, like 3G was like doable, 4G was already alarming people's nervous system. Now we have 5 and coming up is 6. So while not all areas on the planet already have the higher ones, it is certainly in the U.S. a very powerful disturber. Because you can see, all you have to do is look up and look at the ceilings and the roofs of high buildings, and they have these stacked, they look like tubes, like cylinders. They have these stacked cylinders on any high place that they could so that the rays or the reception, the signal can be sent everywhere. It is not helpful in that we have so much out of the planet, so in the atmosphere, the satellites that also emanate. So overall, while there is nothing that's going to go back on that, I mean, we'll continue to use it. And I have to say, I'm not being hypocritical here. I adore my technology. I wouldn't want to go back for 5 seconds to just phone and books to read and learn from. The technology here is fantastic. And with AI, it can increase exponentially, provided we do not let ourselves be bamboozled or seduced by AI, ChatGPT, OpenAI, whoever it may be, but that's not really where I want to go tonight. Electromagnetic fields, we all have one, right? I mean, we call it our aura, we call it our energy field, and that is meant to be sacrosanct. It is meant to be absolutely undiluted and disturbed, which is definitely not the case. All right. It's a little bit like our skin is the natural barrier between the outside and the inside. So whatever is outside of us, in the world, in food, in anything, the skin keeps the barrier intact. This is why when people, for example, they don't understand why they have certain skin eruptions, the skin is the largest eliminatory organ of the body, so sweating is super important, right? So when you sweat and you walk barefoot in the surf, in the shore, on the shore, wherever you are, that is already helping greatly. Because what we know is that many people with inflammation have a Hertz meter on their own bodies. You can measure that over 12. And when we start grounding after 20 minutes, and so I'll get to what that is in a minute, after 20 minutes, it's actually coming down to the Earth's megahertz measurement, which is, I think, 7.48. Now, grounding or earthing are the same thing in my book. There are other people who feel that use grounding more like a metaphor of getting it together, of, doing what's needed for your health, or maybe even doing breath work and mindfulness training. But what it really is, grounding and earthing, is the connection of our naked bodies or a part of our bodies. It could be the hands, it can be the arms, it could be the entire body, to something natural. Grass, especially moist grass to do in the morning, if you're lucky enough to have access to that, it's wonderful. People around here love sitting with their morning coffee in the garden with their feet on the ground, on grass. It's very comforting and it starts your day off well. But even if you cannot do that, the grass, make sure you, when you go to the shore, that you're not actually not go to the beach. You do need the beach. We need the surf, which is very, very grounding, the surf and the moist sand. We're touching three elements there. We're touching the sand in itself. We are within the wave action, right, of the ocean, and then the water transmits the electricity or the hertz, I don't know how to call that, the energy. It lowers it from our body so that we're not affected by inflammation. It takes everything down. And anytime you talk to someone who's going to the shore, and lots of people do, even just for a few days, it is just amazingly beneficial. It calms everything down. People are joyous again. And so having that through the year would be great. Before I lived on the farm and I helped grow food, I often took a blanket, a book, plenty of water, and I would go to the park and even have my feet in a running stream or a creek. That's another thing you can do. It's very comforting to have your ankles in cool water when it's really, really hot out. So that's another form of earthing. Remember how people, oh, can you remember that, right? Hug a tree. Oh, my goodness. How
yes.
We were vilified for simplifying everything. So, yeah. You're a
well, it's interesting. I'm going to jump in here if I can for a second. You know, I might be like some of the people listening in tonight. When I first heard about this earthing or grounding, it sounded too simple. And I honestly, even though I've been in the health and wellness industry for over 30 years now, I was skeptical. I'm like, is this really true? I'm like, so I'm going to go take my shoes and socks off. I'm going to go stand on some grass or the earth or the sand, like you were saying, and I'm just going to suddenly feel better. And for me personally, I needed to be convinced. So probably like you've done, I'm sure, a while back, I did it more recently in the last few years. I really dug deep into try to figure out, is this earthing, grounding thing really, is it real, right? And boy, I was blown away by how much real-world evidence there is out there. So, you know, I number one, I was kind of disappointed in myself for being so skeptical. But afterwards, I practiced that, and I actually do grounding on a somewhat regular basis, at least a few times a week. And you're right. It's hard to even describe, but it does make a difference. And the science or the way you're describing it is spot on, because this is we are electric beings. I mean, that is true. And so this just makes sense. But again, I was skeptical. So if anybody listening in tonight was a little skeptical about it, or you've never heard of grounding or earthing, trust me, don't be skeptical. If you want to do your own research on it, I encourage you to do that. But there's a lot of value here. So I just had to jump in and say that. So I'll turn it back over to you.
No, I appreciate your contribution. This is terrific. If anybody wants more information, there you can just do earthing and Cleveland Clinic. They have a very good article about earthing and grounding and what it all entails and how to do it. And, you know, I hear so many times, I'm a gardener also. I grow food, but I also design gardens. And basically, anytime you talk to someone who really likes to put their hands in the soil, that has become like synonymous with natural health. Oh, I want to get my hands in the soil. I need to plant something. I need to, even if it's just weeding, you know, like I really hear people's yearning for that connection, and that's grounding. That's earthing, right? But actually what you can do too, there are lots of tools that you can use. For example, we sleep on a sheet that has silver strands in it that are connected to a plug that then goes through a cable down into the ground in the garden. And that basically grounds that blanket or that sheet to the earth. So it sticks deep in the ground by about at least a foot, and it takes down inflammation. They did studies on the Tour de France participants many years ago. This is not that new. I mean, there are tools, there are mats for computers, and there are sheets, obviously. And in the Tour de France, what they did, they had these kind of like mummy cloths. So that would be like the sheets sewn together into something of a loose sleeping bag. And they did studies on people who got injured during the day, because it's a grueling practice. And very difficult for anyone who has fallen and they need to go back up and do it again. They went into one of these sleeping bags and did those sheets, and by the morning the inflammation was down at least by half. That is very powerful, because technically there isn't anything in it other than the earth currents that are connected by way of these fibers in the silver that is conductive in those in the sheets. So that was very impressive. Go ahead.
And Henriette, I'll jump in here real quick, because this is also important. And you know, our SilverMax product, and you were talking about the silver that's woven in those sheets to help support, you know, the grounding of those sheets. Obviously, silver is a metal; it's conductive. That's one of the reasons, of course, they use it in those sheets. But what's also interesting is in our SilverMax product, one of the things that makes that product very special and unique is understanding the conductivity of silver. That's those silver particles that are floating around in that SilverMax bottle, whether it's the liquid or the gel, they're positively charged, and they're done specifically to support a higher level of efficacy of that silver. So kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with like the grounding sheets, right? You know, you're creating an electrical current, so to speak, through those sheets using the silver as the conductive material. Well, in the same similar kind of a way, we've got SilverMax with positively charged silver particles, because they're designed to provide better benefits to the body because of that charge. So again, a little off topic, but I thought that was kind of an interesting connection since you were talking about the silver.
No, it's not off topic, really. I'm glad you bring this up, because to me, the shift from when it used to be processed in a linear format, you know, and between that and the new processing, that is not nano, but it, what it allows is the silver to get into the cell. That wasn't always the case. And it doesn't really, The silver has a lot of different qualities in the system, and lots of people make their own silver. But the Silver Max, just like other developed and researched methods of processing, actually allows for the silver particles in their best capacity to get into the cells and destroy whatever is bothering us there. The silver is also great for the biofilms that are created that we've known about for almost 100 years that nobody really hardly ever talks about, where opportunistic pathogens combine with heavy metals and other organisms to protect themselves. It's the enemy's, I don't know what the war term is, but the enemy's way to hide and then pop out when nobody expects it. So anyway, that's my view on the silver. Grounding and earthing are essential. So again, like we had mentioned, all of those different ways in which you can do them, but you can also go online and basically look for grounding shoes. What they are, ideally, so for example, leather conducts and wool conducts and cotton conducts, I mean, meaning that if you have those on and you're wanting to stand in grass, you're okay. But if there is any layer of polyester or rubber or anything else in the middle, then it's not grounding. So there are moccasins that are made from deer skin. You can get leather shoes that would be grounding. And what many of them have is those spikes made from copper, because copper is grounding. So when you see shoes that have, for example, a grounding peg in the middle of the ball of the foot, which is responding, it's K1, which is in Chinese medicine the first meridian point for the kidney meridian. So that seems to have a conductive way for the rest of the body. Now that works too. There are those who do their own grounding pegs from copper, and they come in different sizes and lengths. So you can just basically hammer it in, and as long as it hits the ground and as long as your foot is not insulated inside the shoe, so in other words, it has to be leather, it will be conducting positive energy to you. So that's only one thing that you can do. It's a big chapter, but one thing you can do to protect from electromagnetic fields. There is a material, it's a rock that only exists in Russia, and beware of copies, they abound. It's called shungite. That's shungite. Shungite is a very interesting metal. Well, it's not really a metal. It's more like a, it's not semi-precious stones either, but it is a rock. And you can get beads made from that. You can get discs made from it that come in pyramids. Just make sure you get real Russian shungite. Very, very powerful protector against electromagnetic fields. So if you know people who are sensitive to that and who get horrible headaches, or who are exposed to so much of it that their immune system cannot take it. They end up not being able to sleep. Their metabolism is messed up, but mostly they get horrible headaches and no energy. So that's really, really hard. I've met some of these people, and the same thing is true for these automatic gas or electric meters, and that are being placed into all the households, and you don't have a choice anymore. The electric companies, they are free to do whatever they please. Same as phone companies, hold your phone, you know, I don't know, 4 inches, 5 inches away from your head. That already diminishes the exposure to it by half. So, you know, I have an article on my website about the EMFs and how that affects us negatively. And there is an image of a child. It's a little boy, and I think he's maybe, I don't think he knows what to do, really. He has the whole phone pressed against the side of his face, And what we know now is that this sort of habit is actually causing tumors in the brain. And it seems that glioblastoma, which is a unique kind of brain tumor, is more prevalent for those who are sensitized to EMFs. And I don't know that there's a statistic that say who gets it more than others, but I would never let my child be exposed in that form. So it's convenient, it's interesting to have a phone, it's almost socially demanding that children have phones or teenagers have phones, and before their brains are fully formed, this is becoming a problem. So just saying that, you know, children should not be on cell phones. There's some good habits we can do with that. You know, people just kind of like put their phones away when they come home. They're getting to have an hour on the phone and then that phone goes back away again. You can turn it onto Wi-Fi. You can unplug your Wi-Fi overnight. It'll recharge easily the next morning when you wake up. But to have a house where there is no electromagnetic field disturbance, it is very helpful for better sleep in every way, for better health, to reduce this. So we have, you know, I mean, we mentioned before when we talked, Ken, about chemtrails and things like that. While I don't want to dwell on it, I'm just emphasizing the amount of pollutants, the amount of interference, the amount of disturbance to our brain has, tripled, quadrupled, probably tenfold over the last 20 years, 30 years. So when I look at how surrounded we are with all of that, we have to start concerning ourselves with, okay, what part of my mind, what part of my brain, what part of my nervous system, my circuitry, can I protect better? So while this is not the classic product call that we make, I wanted to really talk about this, and there's so much more that could be said, but wanted to talk about this in terms of encouraging everyone who listens to it to just please to do your research. And you can do some things. I mean, you can reduce your phone time. You can reduce your children's phone time. And it's so much better than to have to repair when something goes wrong. You're on the phone a lot, Ken, aren't you?
I am. But, you know, this EMF thing is something I've been aware of for a long time, and I realize that for me personally, because I'm conscious about it, I definitely try to minimize. Like I told you, I actually started doing grounding just a couple of short years ago to kind of try to balance out, like you were suggesting, you know, a lot of the EMFs and the electrical pollution. But one of the other things, and people are probably in the know on this, but it's true, you know, minimizing exposure to any electronic device, such as your cell phone, your laptop computer, especially at night, like we're, you know, here we are talking, you know, past 9 o'clock at night. You know, ideally, none of us wants to have a lot of exposure to that. Of course, before we go to sleep, it does disrupt our sleeping patterns. It does disrupt our melatonin production. So that's part of it. It's part of it is the electronic device with the EMFs, and a part of it is the blue light exposure. But the other thing that, you know, we talk about EMFs and you were mentioning cell phones as an example. I don't know how many people I've spoken to over the years who will sleep, you know, wherever they sleep, their cell phone is within inches sometimes of mm-hmm. their head. You know, that's an EMF emitting device 24/7 when it's on, yeah. Especially. And so, you know, we think about those things as an example. I mean, I'm just going to share a couple quick things that I do. Like when I'm driving in my car, my phone is actually sitting on the passenger seat away from me. It's not mm-hmm. near my body. It's not on my body. Same thing when I'm in my office. My phone is in a much different part of my desk, quite a ways, several feet from me for that reason, because I know that's an EMF emitting device, you know, because like you said, there's some of the stuff that's just unavoidable. I mean, we're going to have EMFs from all kinds of things, like you said, you know, the 5G towers and Wi-Fi in our buildings and our homes. You know, I mean, those are things that unfortunately are somewhat unavoidable. But we also understand that there's things that we can do to try to control that. And so that's why I never carry my cell phone with me unless it's absolutely necessary. meaning I try not to keep it close to my body, and if I don't have to. But that's just one little step, something that somebody could do. But the other side of this conversation, I think you were getting there before I kind of jumped in and interrupted here, is when we're exposed to all this beyond grounding, what other thoughts do you have on things that we can do to just kind of, you know, keep our health in good stead and maybe try to protect ourselves a little bit, you know, from these kinds of interruptions in our body?
I remember the last time when we talked, I talked quite a bit about water and its importance in the body, not just for hydration purposes, but for information purposes, and how important it is to recognize that water is not only a cleanser or a hydrator, but it actually carries with it the information from where it comes, and it carries, when it leaves us, it carries our imprint with it. So I may not have gone detailed into that, but hydration, water, continues to become, because we're electric beings and the conductivity of our nervous system is also dependent on hydration. And with the X2O, with the sachets, it is just super important to include the trace and regular minerals that keep our bodies electric, that keep our bodies healthy. And so the hydration, the water, helps us fortify against the electromagnetic field, not in a direct way, you know, a tit for tat, I'll take this and then it protects me from that. No, but because it fortifies our bodies with what they need to slough off and flush out whatever is not wanted. The other things in terms of health, you know, I don't know how many of you have considered a 36-hour fast or a 3-day fast. And when I'm talking about short days here of doing it, simply use water. Just use water. And if you feel that you absolutely need something, which I don't think is a problem with the X2O because I've done it, just put more X2O sachets in your water and have an increase delivery of the minerals. I like that very much. Then when it comes to actually not eating, it takes about a day and a half, maybe 2 days, before you're through the first hurdle whereby your body says, okay, we're not getting anything, but as long as we have hydration, we are fine. Having said that, people think they have to eat. So here is the problem with eating. Eating slows down every other healing function in the body. Not when we have to build ourselves up from a disease or from a surgery or from wherever we were to rebuild the body strength. That's a different story. But when we are overloaded with whatever it is, and eating more just slows the body down further and it can't actually start looking around and seeing, okay, what do I need here to withstand the electromagnetic field radiation? Obviously, reducing exposure to devices is an important step. Getting blue glasses, so glasses against the blue light that emanates from televisions and computer screens and phone screens and all these other screens that are everywhere. And for people who are all the time in front of a computer during their work day, definitely such glasses are absolutely important. They also make screens that you can put in front of your monitor or laptop that take the blue light out. Blue light is very, it disturbs our nervous system with its frequency, and it's a very insidious, slow-acting, but very present disturber. So fasting will help the body with the proper hydration to settle itself down so it can actually reduce the toxic waste that it has received over years or maybe over a shorter period of time or after we've been sick or if we have to get away from medication that was helpful but now no longer is, or when we have to regroup our microbiome and build up our friendly bacteria. All of these things require the water and the minerals and a good attitude. Fasting is the quickest way I know to detox and to cleanse. The other thing that is important is that you take a look at the heavy metal poisoning. If it's not poisoning as such, but if it's present, then there is, like I said earlier, the greater chance for biofilm creation with pathogens, with parasites, with whatever other microorganisms there are that are not our friends. Super important to look at the inside of the body, because electromagnetic field stresses the body. It's just super stressful. And we are so used to being surfed with so much news and information and so much stuff that stillness doesn't really come into it. And actually, that is another thing that we can all do. We can try to sit in stillness. And I tell you, I have a very busy mind, and it's sometimes really difficult. So that's when I take a slow walk in the country, barefoot if I can. The woods are beautiful. You may have heard that the Japanese have an expression called forest bathing. I mean, when I think of how they describe it, I'm reminded of my childhood, where every Sunday afternoon, after a family lunch, we all went out into the woods. We didn't walk barefoot, we didn't know then, but we all took walks in the woods. And we saw the sun through the trees, and we were able to touch trees. And sometimes my mother and I picked mushrooms. So it was a restorative practice, and that's basically what we all want to remember. How can you take responsibility for your self-conduct, for the conduct of how you really want to live? Because at the end of life, when you ask people what would you have changed? They say, I would have been more with my loved ones. I would have been outside more. I would have worked less. I would have wanted less and did more that nourished my soul and my heart. You hear that all the time. I would have been freer. I would have laughed more. I would have sought out, children, whatever it may have been. And I don't like the idea of passing on with regrets left behind, because I think it's much better if we clear it up before we croak. No, what do you think?
I definitely agree with that. Obviously, living life to the fullest and doing it in a way that allows us to enjoy it abundantly is always top priority. I'm reminded of that famous saying that says nobody wants to. How's it say? When you get to the end of your life, nobody looks back and says, oh, I wish I had worked more. I wish I had more money. A lot of times people look for the quality of life. And, of course, with what you do and what I do, that quality comes down to your health. I mean, you could have a large bank account and all the fanciest things that money can buy, but if you don't have the health, then you really don't have much. And so I love the fact that part of what you do, what we do at Zuma, and what I commit to every day of my life is to help people enjoy more abundance in their health. That's exactly why we do these calls, every month, is to ensure that people have information and knowledge they can be enjoying more abundant health. Because you're right, at the end of the day, most of us would trade a lot of personal belongings that we own to ensure that we've got good long-term health. So tonight's call is one of those examples of getting the knowledge we need to continue to enjoy that health.
Yeah, I appreciate your input very much. To me, these things are almost second nature, and living on the farm has really fulfilled a dream for me, in that I have access to, I walk out and I'm in my garden. So wherever you can grow things, or maybe even do a patch in at the window, or create a window box, and I don't care if you grow herbs or flowers, it doesn't matter. The connection to nature is just so helpful and so important. So to me, that is ideal. I feel very blessed to be able to live like that.
Well, Henrietta, as always, this has been a great call and lots of great information. And I appreciate you, as you know, for taking time out of your schedule to share this kind of stuff with us.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me. Okay.
All right, guys, thanks again for listening to the call tonight. I appreciate you guys being here. And again, a reminder, this is recorded. Don't hesitate to access this and share this with somebody who you think could benefit from it. But I certainly encourage you guys to rejoin us again. We'll have another great call next month in September, first and third Thursday of every month. So hope to see you there. Until then, guys, take care. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.